had kind of a false alarm here tonight. God's been dealing with me about this for several days. And I was so ready to teach this. And I tried to check in for our flight tomorrow, and we couldn't find our passports. We searched high and low. I told my wife, I said, honey, I'm getting in the truck. I'm driving home. They're probably on top of the dresser. If you find them, call me. I'll turn around. Well, just about the time I got to Highway 18, she called. Good, because I was wanting to teach this. I want to read to you Matthew 6, beginning at verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what shall you put on? Without reading all the way down through that dissertation, you can't go two ways. And so the directive of the scripture is take no thought for your life, and begins to cite the natural things, eating, drinking, wearing, living. Don't let your thoughts dwell in the natural. If you're going to have faith for the provision of God, and you're going to trust in Him, walk with Him, don't let your thought processes dwell in the natural. Don't let it consume your thought. Don't let it worry you. Catch yourself. Oh, that's right. Let me cast that to the Lord. Let me cast that care upon Him. Not sure how it's all going to work out, but I cannot allow my mind to dwell there. Because the natural mind, the carnal mind, the thinking upon the natural things constantly, or worse yet, going back and forth, will wreak havoc upon your mind. The mind, the brain, our head. Is it all natural? Is it all genetic? Is it all cells? Is it all my brain? If the Word of God says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. But I thought I did all my thinking from up here. I thought it was all a natural process of thought. There's more to it than that. I want to read to you Luke 8 at verse 33. Then went the devils out of the man, entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it to the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done, came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed, and in his right mind. This would lead us to believe that the spiritual influence that had been operating in his life, influencing his life, caused his mind to think in a way that was not right. The removal of this spiritual influence in his life, and here he is, sitting, and by the descriptive of the Word of God, in his right mind. Not only that, but his demeanor changed. He put clothes on. The influence in his life was causing him to want to take them off. The removal of spiritual influence caused him to want to put on and cover up. I know that we refer to this man as the demoniac of Gadara. And we hate that term. I mean, we don't like that word. Demons. Demoniac. It's no different than an unclean spirit. That's more palatable to say, though, to use. Or a spirit of influence. Yes, this man was possessed, and the Lord called those spirits out, sent them away into pigs, undoubtedly suicidal demons, because as soon as they went into the pigs ran over the cliff and into the water. Spirits seek to influence mankind. It's why the activity of man is important to either grant access, open a door, allow even just a little bit of influence. And how the eventuality of that is in playing upon the mind of a human being. I don't know if I said it here or somewhere else. I think it was somewhere else. I've noticed that when people depart either from doctrine, which is truth, fellowship, communion with God, fellowship with the body of Christ, something begins to happen almost immediately. They start looking older. They start aging. They start digressing physically. You ever noticed it? Put years on it, and they look old before their time. You ever seen that, Brother Berglund? People who've departed from the way.
I'm keeping my wife in the faith.
Okay, keep her in the faith. Because she looks young in vitality. Full. Now, that's the other word I want to use. People who have the anointing of God operating in their life because of their communion with God, fellowship with God, they just look younger. They look alive, full of vitality. What is that? Is that natural? Good looks? No, it isn't. It's the joy of the Holy Ghost. It is spiritual influence operating in an individual's life that just gives them a glow. Now, remove the spiritual influence. God's spiritual influence. Just put a little distance between the human and his creator, his God. And he starts aging. I've just noticed it. You can say, well, you know, some people just have harder miles, or, you know, it's the alcohol and the drugs and all that. I think it's far more. I came home from a family reunion with pictures one time, and my kids said, Dad, you look the youngest of them all. And I'm next to the oldest. It's not just because of the difference in miles. There's something that is real and living in us that is by the Spirit of God. It's by the work of His Spirit living, indwelling, and in our constant communion with Him. The strength of a mind, the strength of an individual in their thought processes has a lot to do with who they're hanging around with, who they're in communion with, who they're in fellowship with, who they're in dialogue and conversation, whether it be in prayer or through the reading of the Word of God. We converse with the Lord, and it affects our thought processes. We can think straight. He gives us a sound mind. The man sat there in his right mind. They were afraid. They also, which saw it, told them by what means that he was possessed of the devils was healed. Now, there's an interesting term. Healed. So this problem that he had with needing to be undressed in public, he was healed of that. The thought processes, his inability to converse with the general public. Nobody can understand. The guy's crazy. He can't even, you know, you can't stay with it. You can't hold a conversation. God healed that. He healed it by a spiritual act. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them. For they were taken with great fear, and when he went up into the ship and returned back again, now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. What a change. The man's mind is healed, and now he just wants to be with the Lord. I just want to be with God. I just want to be with the people of God. I want to be in fellowship with the body of Christ. Just tell me, where are they tonight? I want to be with somebody. I want a fellowship. He was healed of wanting to distance himself, wanting to be separate, wanting to keep arm's length, brothers and sisters in Christ. He wanted to be with Jesus. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to thine own house. Show how great things God hath done unto thee." He went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. I was up in the middle of the night last night. I had been considering various scriptures. They just kept coming to my mind, and I thought, I better get up and, you know, put these down in the order that they were coming to me. And so this is what I'm reading to you. 2 Timothy chapter 1 at verse 5. "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice," this is Paul writing to Timothy, "and I'm persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God." Stir up that spiritual gifting in your life. Keep it operative. Keep the faith alive. Don't allow your thought processes to go back to all that which is natural. How, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to put on, how you're going to get gas for the car, how you're going to make the payment, who's going to get the garbage paid for. And keep the gift of faith stirred up in your mind. He starts this conversation talking about the faith of his grandmother, the faith of his mother, and his faith. And then he says, keep that stirred up. Keep the gift of God stirred up. How do you do that? Praying. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Communing with God in the Spirit. Communing with God means I talk to Him and He talks to me. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Not somebody just reciting and quoting the scriptures. Faith comes when God speaks to me in my communing with Him, keeps faith alive, keeps the gift stirred up, keeps me walking spiritually, that I remain, watch, here we go, spiritually minded. Paul says, don't be carnal minded, be spiritually minded. I don't know that that's only to, you know, think like he thinks, think like the scripture teaches. I wonder that keeping the gift that is spiritual, stirred up, alive and active, it affects my thought processes, keeps me whole, keeps me pure, and in sound doctrine. Burden for the lives that I've observed and watched who've let go. Not knowing that they've even let go. But when you observe over time and you see the evidences in their life change and you begin to witness the degradation of their thought processes, their ability to think spiritually, their ability to converse clearly, that there's a clear sound. There's something sound about their communication and their judgment. It becomes shaky. It becomes double-minded. It goes this way, then it goes that way. It becomes tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. It makes me want to say, man, repent. Turn to God. Humble yourself in the sight of God. Tell Him you're wrong. Ask Him to heal you. Let me read it again at verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. Spirit of power. He hadn't given us the spirit of fear. He's given us a spirit. But He's given us the spirit of power, the spirit of love, and the spirit of a sound mind. That's why this tells me it's just not genetics. It's just not learning or education or even just the inputs. There's spiritual involvement that keeps me sound or can cause me to lose my soundness, jeopardize my judgments. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. I think there's a key to remaining sound. It's to never becoming high-minded, but to always choose a position of lowliness, humility. He chose humility. When he came in the form of a servant, he took a low place. He condescended to men of low estate. Lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. That's not a hard thing to do. I don't know that it's even a hard place to stay. There's safety. There's purity. There's soundness in it. You know, a strong foundation is stay low, stay safe, stay secure. Oh, yes. Let's see, I'm still reading it. Verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I think obedience, willingness to be obedient, is a key to remaining sound, to maintaining strength in our thought processes. Now, we're living in an hour. Of not just constant information, but there's spiritual influence in information. There's spiritual influence in media. We got to guard not just our heart. We got to guard our mind. And the things that we allow in that will have influence and affect our thought processes, especially when it's contrary to the Word of God. Of course, we've got to be familiar with the Word of God to recognize. We've got to study the original, that when the counterfeit shows up, it's easily recognized. And we don't gravitate to it. We push it aside. Remain with that which is true, that which is pure, that which is strong. I want to pray for you right now. You and I. Father, our minds are a precious thing. God, that you have given to us, Lord, and the spiritual influence that you have brought into our being, into our life by the indwelling Holy Ghost, in its healing power, Father, in its sustaining power, that we can remain strong in our mental capacities. In the name of Jesus, that no mental illnesses will find place. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we appeal to you, Father. We trust you and we believe you. We look to you for these things. We look to you. When people have parents and grandparents that they feel have begun to lose their faculties, one of the first concerns that comes is, will that happen to me? Will there come a time in my life? I think there's things that do degenerate in our being, in our physical makeup. But there's a whole lot that God can make up for. Sometimes when you see where you've had family members who have departed or really created a distance between them and God through the years, and you see, you know, you talk with them for a while and you wonder, man, what's going on? What's happening there? That doesn't mean that you're going to experience that in your life, because you have steadfastly maintained your walk with Him. That the spiritual, listen to me, the spiritual influence prevailing upon your life will maintain a soundness. Come on, pray with me again. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, the spirit of a sound mind. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But ere would we be, if we allow for distances to grow. You know, Paul spoke of exercising a conscience void of offense with God and men. When a person exercises a conscience, or in other words, determines not to allow offenses with God or men. In other words, when you see the beginning of one, you do something with it. You do something about it. You confess it to the Lord. You repent of your piece, your part, and you ask for God's covering. You maintain the fellowship. There's a certain amount of preservation that takes place. The continued flow of the blood. Do you know they say that sometimes when a bone is broken and there's not much that they can do between the two, all they got to do is give it time, because the blood that will flow between the two will make up the difference and develop whatever the need is. I don't know all the details of that. Somebody else told me that. The power in blood and blood cells. Anything, but I believed it when I heard it. Philippians chapter 4 at verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We've got promises. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are pure or true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Intentionally focus your mind on things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of a good report. Intentionally direct your thought. Whoops, where'd that thought come from? I cast that down. Oh, that might bring me to my next scripture. Nope, Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. When I see believers pursuing after style and culture, it makes me cringe. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of men. The spirit of this world hath blinded the minds of men, has sought to influence and blind the minds of men to truth. So blinding with that which is false, blinding with that which is not true, all these things that we were admonished to think on, just the opposite. Conform to this world. So much of Paul's writings and teachings all say the same thing. You can't do both at the same time. You can't live for the world and live for God at the same time. You can't live for yourself or walk in the flesh, walk in the spirit at the same time. There's a battle between the two. There's a war between the two. And when people try to live in both places, if the carnal mind is enmity against God, if carnal thought processes, if thinking that dwells in the earthly constantly, it conflicts with the mind of Christ. How long can the double-mindedness, the world, the flesh, the cares of this life, God, the things of the spirit, the things of faith, back to this, then back to that. He becomes unstable in all of his ways. It affects everything. In time, it affects everything. And people begin to point their finger at the man and say, the guy's a lunatic. He's crazy. He's out. So our imperative is to fix our direction, to intentionally steer our thought processes. Be careful what we listen to. Use caution in what we read. You know, teachers are powerful. teachers, they can turn the ship. I have two siblings that in their youth, they sought God. One of them received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then they went into their education years beyond high school, went to college. And there were professors that affected their minds and steered their lives away. I'll never forget the day my brother said to me, "Oh, haven't you heard? They've disproved." I forget the rest of the statement. It was something about that we hold true in the Bible, in the Word of God. And I looked at him and I thought, how'd this happen? And he reflected back on his college years. I'm not down in college. I'm just talking to you about the power of teachers and the spirit of influence that they'll bring into individuals' lives using true statements, true words, wrong spirit. Anti-God spirit. Teaching science. Scientific facts. I want my mind to be preserved. I want my thoughts to be protected. I want the things that travel between my left ear and my right ear to be true sound. The things that can bring sound judgment. Things that I can pass on even to my children and my grandchildren. True narratives that will help guide and lead them. True principles established in the Word of God and not confounded with the world all at the same time. That's why the writer said, we're in this world, we're not of this world. We got to maintain a place. Amen. To be carnally minded is death. Carnal mind is enmity against God. They that are in the flesh can't please God. But you're not in the flesh, Paul writes to the church at Rome, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Spiritual influence prevailing in our lives will serve our mind. Well, James writes, James 1:1, James, a servant of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given unto him. Its origin in the Spirit of God. Wise thought processes that don't come out of my books of learning, but come through spiritual input, revelation, spiritual influence upon my mind. For if any of you lack, verse 6, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Let me go back. Verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, the application of knowledge in your thought processes, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Again, the parameters of Paul's teachings. A faith of lack of faith. A faith, I'm going to believe because I came out of an awesome service and the power of the teaching and the preaching. I'm going to believe until tomorrow. Circumstances arise. Yeah, but wait a minute, I thought you were. Yeah, but look at the circumstances. Driven with the wind, tossed. What are you going to hold to? The seen or the unseen? What are you going to hold to? Whose report are you going to believe? Praise God.
Second Corinthians, and I'm closing with this. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 at verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Christ, casting down imaginations, casting down thought processes that object to faith, that resist faith, that are in conflict with faith and the promises of the Word of God, casting it down. Oh, but what about? Oh, but what about? Cast it down. Cast it down. Submit it to God. Intentionally walk in the direction of faith and the things of the Spirit. Intentionally live spiritually minded. Intentionally allow the spiritual influence of God in your life and upon your mind and your thought processes. Casting down anything that doesn't prevail. I pray that the Word of God preserve you. I pray that your life in Christ preserve and sustain you and your thought processes. In Jesus' name. God go with you. Amen. You're dismissed.